is a presentation of Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball. Mighty Muscles Baseball is on the air worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. The game is coming up, but first, it's time for Muscles Pregame Live. And here's your host, Andrew Pauling.
Well, good evening, everyone, as we welcome you into Hammond Stadium here in beautiful Fort Myers, Florida, for Game 5 of the series between the Tampa Tarpons and your Mighty Muscles. Two games apiece through the first four games of this six-game set, with the Tarpons winning yesterday's game by a final of 9-2, out-hitting the Muscles 11-4 in that game, no errors on either side. Tampa saw 8 of 9 starters score, all 9 men reached base safely, and that was led by Emmanuel Tejeda, who went 3-for-5 with an RBI to lead the way for the Tarpons offense as they jumped on Charlie Soto early in the game. Soto went just 3 1/3, six hits, 5 runs, all of them earned, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts for Soto, who fell to 0-3. While Josh Gross, he improved to 2-5 on the season, 6 2/3, 2 hits of shutout ball, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts for Gross, as he was outstanding in the game last night here for Game 5 of the series in Fort Myers. A little overcast. We do have a delayed start to today's game, about a 40-minute delay as storms rolled through in the late afternoon and have now headed south of us here at the Lee Health Sports Complex. So hoping to get underway in the next 20 minutes or so with our first weather delay of the season. We have had a couple of rainouts, but our first delay on the schedule now here just north of halfway through the 2024 season. The Muscles coming in at 36-36 overall, 5-2 here in the second half of the season. The Tarpons 27-45 overall and 3-3 here in the second half. For tonight's pitching matchup, it's Jose Olivares, the righty, who gets the ball for the Muscles, a 2-1 record, a 2.55 ERA. 24 2/3 innings of work for Jose, 27 strikeouts and 10 walks for him. And getting the start for the Tarpons is Cade Smith. This will be his fourth start of the season against the Mighty Muscles. He started opening day on April 5th and then got 2 starts in the series earlier this month at Steinbrenner Field. Smith on the season, a 3-5 record, a 3.94 ERA, 61 2/3 innings of work, 78 strikeouts and 30 walks for Smith. That's our pitching matchup, Jose Olivares versus Cade Smith. Well, here on the Mighty Muscles pregame live show, we'll be taking our first break. We'll come back with our Minnesota Twins report as we take a look around the Twins organization. Then we'll be joined by utility man Nick Lucky, who gets to tell his story. That all coming up here over the next couple of segments on the Mighty Muscles pregame live show.
Today's row crop farming is all about efficiency. When the sun's up, you gotta go. You don't have time for multiple trips across your fields, and you can't take risks on unproven products. That's why the best farmers, including those at Next Level, rely on Brand, formulated for superior tank mixing and advanced nutrition delivery. Brand's products are highly efficient, helping improve your crop's quality and overall yield. Visit Brand.co for more information.
Sundays are special at Hammond Stadium. Pull up a chair for our famous brunch, served up at 11 for only $15 per person with your game ticket. Kids get in free to every Sunday home game to play catch on the field pregame and run the bases postgame. It's also a great day to check out the new Muscles swag at the team store. First pitch against the Tampa Tarpons is at 12:05, so slap on some sunscreen and come on out to the ball game with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
You may not need a lawyer today, but at some point in your life, you might. Attorney Spencer Cordell is a criminal defense and personal injury lawyer recognized by the Florida Bar as an expert in criminal trial law. Spencer's main office is in Fort Myers, and he represents clients in DUI, criminal law, and felony case matters from Port Charlotte to Naples. Initial consultations are free. You may not need a lawyer today, so remember his name for when you do. The Law Office of Spencer Cordell, committed to serving Floridians with excellence.
Whoa. Well, welcome back to Mighty Muscles pregame live. Andrew Pauling, happy to be with you as we get set for game five of the series between the Tarpons and the Mighty Muscles. It's now time for today's Twins Report as we take a look around how the Minnesota Twins organization fared over yesterday's games. Starting with the big league team yesterday, the Twins lost a 3-2 game against the Seattle Mariners to fall to 45-37 on the year. Shortstop Carlos Correa went 2-for-4 with a homer and two runs batted in, while Bailey Ober was solid in the loss. Six innings of one-run ball, nine strikeouts, two hits, and three walks for Ober. At the AAA level, the St. Paul Saints, they lost yesterday as well, an 8-1 final score against the Iowa Cubs. The only two hits of the game came from center fielder Deshaun Kearsey Jr., who also connected on a solo home run. That was the only run of the game for St. Paul. Caleb Bosley was solid, six innings, two runs, five strikeouts, and two walks for Bosley, although he did end up on the losing side of the record in that game. At the AA level, the Wichita Wind Surge, they also lost yesterday, an 11-7 final score against the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, as the Wind Surge now fell to 34-21 on the year. Carson McCusker led the way for the offense. He went 3-for-4 with a homer, a triple, and five runs batted in. At the high A level, Cedar Rapids, they won yesterday. They were the only Twins affiliate to win yesterday, a final score of 7-6 against the Beloit Skycarp as they improved to 42-29. Old friend Rain Don Cone, he went 1-for-3 with a homer and two runs batted in, while third baseman Jay Harry went 2-for-4 with a double and a run scored. Former Muscle Ty Langenberg, five innings of work, six runs, 10 hits, three strikeouts, and two walks for Langenberg as he took the loss in that game. At the complex level yesterday, the FCL Twins fell to the FCL Red Sox, a final score of 17-5 in that game, as the FCL Twins are now 18-21 on the year. Yasser Mercedes went 4-for-4 with a homer and a double, two runs batted in, and two runs scored for him in the losing effort. Now taking a look at today's contests across the Minnesota Twins organization. Twins back in action tonight, a 10-10 first pitch as they continue their series in Seattle against the Mariners. It'll be Pablo Lopez against Bryce Miller, who gets the ball for Seattle. At the AAA level, the Saints continue their series against the Iowa Cubs. A 7:08 first pitch in that one as Louis Varland gets the start for St. Paul opposite Thomas Pannone, who gets the ball for the Cubs. For the Wind Surge, it'll be Travis Adams who gets the start against the number 20 prospect in the Royals organization. That's Noah Cameron who gets the start for the Naturals. That game has a 7:05 first pitch, so coming up in just a little over a half hour. Then at the high A level for Cedar Rapids, it'll be John Klein against the number 3 prospect in the Marlins organization. That's Thomas White who will be making the start in that high A game coming up in just a little bit, as they have a 7:35 first pitch in that one, so about an hour away from first pitch in that contest. And then at the complex level, the FCL Twins have already played, and they lost again to the FCL Red Sox. Today's score a little better than yesterday. It was just a 6-1 loss. Liam Rocca, he went four innings in the start, allowed four runs on six hits while striking out five, as the Twins have now lost back-to-back games against the Red Sox at the complex level. Well, that was today's Minnesota Twins report as we took a look around the Twins organization. After the break, we'll be back with Nick Lucky, Muscles utility man, who will get to tell his story of growing up in Pennsylvania, playing his college ball at Coastal Carolina, and then how he ended up here with the Mighty Muscles earlier on this summer. And then after that, his first pitch with John Vitas coming up on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Southwest Waste is proud to serve Southwest Florida. With seven locations, Southwest Waste services customers from Marco Island to Bradenton and always puts you, the customer, and our community first. From waste hauling and disposal to recycling and site work, Southwest Waste has your constructions and demolition recycling needs covered. Our live customer service reps are ready to help. Call 239-939-5050 or visit southwestwastefl.com.
Welcome back on Mighty Muscles Pregame Live. Andrew Pauling now joined by Muscles utility man Nick Lucky. And Nick, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, Nick, want to talk about your baseball background here from the start. And what was youth baseball like for you growing up in Ephrata, Pennsylvania?
So I don't think I started playing baseball until like I was roughly 10 or 12. Around that age, I wasn't like a T-ball kid. I didn't play coach pitch or anything like that. So I started kind of right off the bat with like town ball. And then went from there to just a local travel ball team. It was called Elite Baseball. They're out of Donegal, around that area. I actually played with Hesse, Kyle Hest. So we played there for like 3 or 4 years. And then we both went from there to Westchester, which is down in PA. So it was like an hour and a half from us. We played for a travel ball there called ASBA. And then the coach there knew the head coach at Coastal, so that's how I got hooked up with Coastal. And then went to a camp there after my freshman year going into my sophomore year, and then I got an offer pretty much from there within like 2 or 3 weeks after the camp. They really liked how I looked and everything, and then I committed. And then from that point on, just played high school baseball, played Legion ball and travel ball as well. Legion ball was actually really fun. So I played in Ephrata for Legion ball. Never played for Ephrata because I went to Cocalico, obviously. But Legion ball was fun. But yeah, I mean, it was fun playing baseball there. It's obviously not like it is here in Florida with high school talent and stuff like that. The talent up in Northeast is not as good as here, as people would say. But it was a good time.
Well, you ended up getting drafted out of high school in 2018, 14th round by the Red Sox. And what factors into the decisions there that you decided to go play your college ball at Coastal Carolina and forego that draft pick, and then later you end up here at the Twins? But what was basing into that decision back in 2018?
Yeah, so coming out of high school, like I said, the high school talent up there isn't, you know, it's not that it's bad, but it's not the best of the best like it is in California and Florida and stuff like that. So coming out of high school, I didn't really face a ton of, you know, high level arms, and it wasn't that I was doubting myself in terms of signing, because I obviously, like you said, got drafted. But I just thought that in terms of development and where I was at that age, you know, maturity-wise, I thought that college would be the better route of developing and just kind of, you know, learning how to become a baseball player and, you know, playing for, you know, the chance to go to Omaha is, you know, obviously the dream of any, you know, kid that wants to play college baseball. And just after, you know, a couple days just talking to my family and stuff like that, we thought that would be the right decision to make. And looking back on it, I don't think I would honestly, truthfully change my decision at all. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, it all worked out in the long term for you there. And yeah, you ended up having 5 successful seasons at Coastal Carolina. So what were some highlights for you during your time there?
Yeah, for sure. I would say my freshman highlight was definitely going to a regional in Georgia Tech. You know, that was kind of my big, I would say that was kind of like my first, like, foot in the door with like big baseball. You know, Georgia mm-hmm. Tech had a really nice stadium. It was kind of, you know, my first time where I saw a bunch of different teams and stuff like that as a young kid, or I should say as a freshman. So that was probably my highlight my freshman year. And also we won the Sun Belt my freshman year, and I played third and caught the last out as well, which was kind of sick. So like, yeah, started the dog pile from my last out. And then sophomore year was obviously COVID, so that kind of sucked with only playing 15 games and obviously, you know, getting the season banged. Junior year was rough. We were like right around 500. Senior year, went to a regional at ECU. That was really big. And I think we went on like a 26-5 stretch my senior year. And me and my one buddy on the team actually got matching tattoos from that season because we bought a pet monkey from the gas station on the way to Clemson, and it was after we lost a couple games, so we were like, screw it. And we bought this monkey, and he had a headband that said the coolest, and then he had a t-shirt that said the coolest kid ever. And after we bought him, that was when we went like 26-5 or something like that. So we were like, all right, let's do it. So we got a tattoo of the coolest, like the headband in the same font. So that was probably my senior year highlight. And then my fifth year was definitely winning the Sun Belt regular season and then hosting a regional. And we ended up losing them, but still being able to host, playing in front of your home crowd, having, I don't know how many people there were, 5,000, you know, teal fans dressed in teal, raving for you guys to win. It was pretty sick.
Yeah, so two Sun Belt championships in 5 years then?
Yeah, two. And then we had three regional appearances. And we went to the championship for the regional twice out of the three and lost. So, yeah.
That's still solid all around there, yeah, exactly. Over those 5 years. And then you ended up starting your professional career last year with two different indie ball teams. And could you mm-hmm. kind of take us through that process after you were wrapping up your college season and what last summer was like for you?
Yeah, so it was actually during the season last summer. I got a text from the manager of the Glacier Range Riders, Stu Peterson, his name. Funny story, my favorite player is Jock Peterson. So, like, when I got a text from him, I was like, is this really Jock's dad? Like, this is my favorite player's dad texting me. Huh. And I think we had, like, a month left of the season. So he texted me just, you know, kind of saying how he would like me to come out there and play before the draft started and everything. So I was like, all right, sure. You know, obviously I'm down to do it. Because I guess you can still get, you know, drafted and or signed playing there. So I thought for sure to go out there and do it. And it was, you know, it was never been on that side of the country, but it was for sure a different experience. And it was fun to be out there and, you know, experience that type of baseball. And then went from there to Michigan in the USPBL. And that was, you know, everyone played at one stadium. There was four teams in the league. So it was pretty fun. There was a, you know, always a group, a good crowd that showed up to the games because it was like the main thing there in that town. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to play there the last year in the summer.
Well, we're joined by Mighty Muscles utility man Nick Lucky. And Nick, to start this 2024 year, you end up back home in Pennsylvania. You play with the Lancaster Stormers in the Atlantic League. How did that go this offseason, trying to find a new home this spring? And then how did you turn that opportunity into getting here into affiliated ball in the Twin system?
Yeah, so in the fall, my dad knew the first base coach for the Stormers. They actually went to high school together, and my dad's brother was in the same grade as him. So they were all close friends and grew up together as kids and everything. So with him being the manager, he kind of helped me get there. In the fall, we were talking and everything, and then January, February came around, me and Hesse, we would go and hit underneath in their cages with him and their manager, just to let them see us hit and everything, just, you know, to basically show them that we wanted to play and we're good enough to play for him. And then he ended up giving us an opportunity to sign, and then I played outfield college for the last 3 years basically, and then when I signed, he said that he wanted me to, you know, probably play the infield to begin. So I was like, all right, because I played the infield in high school. So I was like, okay, you know, I haven't done it in 4 years probably, but I'm down to do it and, you know, get better at it. So kind of, you know, started to weasel my way into the lineup early in the season, playing the infield and stuff, and then you know, was doing well and got the opportunity to come play here, and, you know, the rest is history.
Well, you mentioned your defensive versatility here, and I want to talk about that a little bit as far as infield, outfield, mm-hmm. pregame prep. What's the biggest differences for you just knowing where you're going to be penciled in on the lineup card that night?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is with me is, you know, like I said, playing the outfield the past 4 years and really only working at that. I kind of have that stuff penciled in my pocket, in the back of my brain. Like, I can, you know, kind of remember to do everything in the outfield, and it's really just – you just go out there and run down balls. So it's not as – I would say the outfield is a little bit easier to pick up than infield. So with me being skilled in the outfield and then having to get better at the infield, I feel like that's a better situation because the infield is, you know, harder to learn. But like I said, playing it in high school and everything, I still kind of remember here and there, you know, what to do and, you know, trying to learn just every day, you know, and get better at, you know, the defensive stuff because, like I said, I haven't played it in a while. So just kind of learning every day, learning from different guys, asking Brian questions and everything, and trying to just be the best I can in multiple positions because, like you said, that's what gets you in the lineup.
Well, you've been here for the better part of a month now here in Fort Myers. What's your overall impression here, just first couple of weeks in this clubhouse, playing here in Hammond Stadium, and just being around this team of guys?
Yeah, I mean, this place is amazing. The complex is awesome. You know, I didn't really know what to expect coming down here because I didn't really – everything happened so fast, so I didn't even really look up stuff. But getting here, I was really caught off guard and kind of, you know, breath was taken away with how the facilities are and everything. It is very hot, though, I will say that. But so that was, you know, being in Conway, that it is hot there in college, but the humidity here is different than it is there. So that kind of gets something to get used to. But I mean, the guys are great. The coaches are awesome. I'd say the other thing that, you know, kind of that I got to get better at is learning a little bit of Spanish. That was kind of, I never really learned Spanish before in college. So it was kind of, it's fun learning it and hearing guys talk it and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, great. Thank you so much for the time. That's Nick Lucky, Muscles Utility Man, and for telling your story.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. First pitch is coming up next on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Well, a 40-minute rain delay here tonight, but we are finally ready for baseball under the lights at Hammond Stadium. John Vitas alongside Andrew Pauling. And, Andrew, this is about as comfortable as it's been for a first pitch in several weeks. 77 degrees, overcast, not so humid as the afternoon thunderstorms have cleared things out a little bit. There is a chance of rain the rest of the night, but we are good for first pitch here at 6:45. Jose Olivares climbs the mound, getting set to face George Lombard Jr., the second baseman tonight. He'll be followed by designated hitter Edmanuel Tejeda and shortstop Roderick Arias. Tarpons in their alternate navy blue jerseys, the Muscles in their alternate purple jerseys. It's a deep, colorful matchup here for game five of a six-game series. We are underway. First pitch is a fastball up and away at 96 miles per hour from Olivares. To give you the rest of that Tampa lineup, it'll be Dylan Hasso batting cleanup at first. Left fielder Jackson Castillo batting fifth. Swing and a miss on a fastball there, 1-1. Hans Montero in the sixth hole tonight at third. The center fielder, Willie Montero, bats seventh. The wind in the 1-1 is outside for ball two. Kobe Morales hits eighth and right. Tomas Frick rounds it out the catcher for the 27-45 Tampa Tarpons. 3-3 to start the second half. Swing and a miss. High fastball at 95 from Olivares. And he gets even on the leadoff man. Well, Jose missed the first month with an injury this year. Was supposed to be with High A Cedar Rapids, came to the Muscles on rehab, made one outing, and then they just placed him on the roster, decided this is where you'll be for a while, and he has been terrific for Fort Myers over the last month or so. 2-2 is pulled to third. High hopper, Lucky gets tied in a knot. It goes behind him, and Lombard is safe. Oh, Andrew, it looked like Lucky got his feet tangled up there on a hard hopper right at him.
Yeah, he just had the feet slip right out from under him as he tried to take the back step to field that on the second hop. And we'll take a look at the replay now on our video stream. And, yeah, just completely lost the feet out from under him. Tough to give an error on that when you're obviously dealing with wet field conditions with the afternoon storm and borderline monsoon that we had here for the better part of an hour that passed through just within the last 2 hours here. So still pretty damp out there.
So the leadoff man is on. Here is Tejeda, who takes high for ball one. Now, rain between about 3:30 and 4:30 today. And by the time 5 o'clock rolled around, they were able to take the tarp off. The managers walked the outfield and decided that we'd be able to start right around 6:45. Swing and a miss on a slider, 1-1. So we mentioned Olivares' success early in the season. He has a 2.55 ERA through 24 and two-thirds innings. 27 strikeouts, 10 walks for the 21-year-old from Venezuela. Fastball right down the middle for a called strike two. Spent all of last year with the Muscles, led the team in innings with 85. Throws really hard, 94 to 96 on the fastball. Averaged 94.5 his last outing. Runner goes, pitches high. Clayton's throw is into the runner, and it's a stolen base for Lombard. So a man in scoring position right away for Tampa. That is their 134th stolen base of the season, second highest total in the Florida State League.
Yeah, for George Lombard Jr., that's his 22nd steal of the season, second on the team in that category. But as we've talked about all week, the Tarpons have four of the top 10 base stealers here in the Florida State League.
And they have been very aggressive running on the Muscles this series. 2-2 is downstairs. They've had at least two stolen bases in every game this week. In some games, many more than that. As the count now full on Tejeda. Man on second. Nobody out top of the first inning. Olivares steadies. Looks at the runner. And now the payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. Pulled the string on a breaking ball at 85. And Tejeda is strikeout victim number one.
Well, that gives us a chance here to set the defense for the Muscles in the top of the first. The outfield from left to right, Carlos Aguiar, Maddox Houghton, and Ryan McCarthy. Nick Lucky at third. Isak Pena is the shortstop today after Brandon Winokur was sent on the IL yesterday. Angel Del Rosario is at second base. Pancho Ruiz mans first, and Matthew Clayton has catching duties for Olivares.
Swing and a miss on a breaking ball down to Roderick Arias. Yeah, that was actually early this morning. Winokur placed on the IL and Wilfrey Castro was activated. So Muscles still working with 29 active players, but now a fully healthy bench after they were kind of two men down yesterday. Here's the 0-1, and it's downstairs. Ricks and Wingrove had to leave the game early yesterday, and Winokur was active but not available, so tonight they've got a normal bench again with Wingrove here and ready to go if needed, but not in the starting lineup. Olivares looks at second base. Here's the 1-1. Swing and a miss on an off-speed pitch down and in for strike two. And with the addition of Castro, the Muscles are carrying four catchers again tonight, which gives them some flexibility. Pancho Ruiz playing first base and still two more catchers on the bench. I'm sure one will be catching bullpens tonight. Olivares looks at second base, the 1-2 pitch. Slider down and in, good stop by Clayton for ball two.
It was good to see Wilfrey back. He was in high spirits in the clubhouse earlier today, happy to be activated and showing off the nice scar he has on his forearm from those 10 stitches he got from the Lakeland series a couple weeks ago.
And he was quick to point out it probably should have been 15 stitches. They put them kind of far apart, which was not ideal. 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. Good slider again by Jose. Back-to-back strikeouts here in the first.
And Arias leads the league in strikeouts. We've talked about that all week long. Now he's north of 110 punchouts on the season, so he's averaging just under two a game. Certainly a guy that you can strike out at the plate, and nice job by Jose Olivares to get back-to-back Ks after the infield single started the frame.
Yeah, that's the big Achilles heel right now for Roderick Arias, on pace for about 200 strikeouts this season as Hasso fouls the first one off behind home plate for strike one. Hasso with two home runs in Wednesday's game. Eight of them now on the year to lead the team. Native of Mexico, but played junior college baseball in Texas. Rolls one down the first baseline, foul. Pass James Cooper, touched up by Ruiz, strike two.
Rather defensive swing on the up and in pitch from Jose Olivares, and just trying to fight it off and not wear it off the chin there. Very, very defensive hack.
Trying to protect himself at the very end as that was running up and in. Olivares dangles that arm around, gets the sign from Clayton, looks at the runner, and deals. And it's lifted out to center, playable for Howen, who backs up a couple steps. And in straightaway center, he will make the catch to end the inning. A clean first for Olivares. The Muscles come to bat in a scoreless game after this on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Today's row crop farming is all about efficiency. When the sun's up, you gotta go. You don't have time for multiple trips across your fields, and you can't take risks on unproven products. That's why the best farmers, including those at Next Level, rely on Brandt, formulated for superior tank mixing and advanced nutrition delivery. Brandt's products are highly efficient, helping improve your crop's quality and overall yield. Visit Brandt.co for more information.
Southwest Waste is proud to serve Southwest Florida. With 7 locations, Southwest Waste services customers from Marco Island to Bradenton and always puts you, the customer, and our community first. From waste hauling and disposal to recycling and site work, Southwest Waste has your constructions and demolition recycling needs covered. Our live customer service reps are ready to help. Call 239-939-5050 or visit southwestwastefl.com.
Hook up on Twitter at Mighty Muscles for game day starting lineups, final scores, game recaps, promotions, and more. It's the best way to know what's happening right now, and total team info with rosters, stats, stories, and promotions is on the web at MightyMuscles.com.
You're listening to Muscles Baseball Live on the home of the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Mighty Muscles come to bat for the first time against right-hander Cade Smith. Here's the Achieva Credit Union starting lineup. Achieva banking for good. Walker Jenkins leads it off. He's the designated hitter tonight, to be followed by shortstop Isak Pena and first baseman Pancho Ruiz here in the bottom of the first inning. Cade Smith ready to go. His first pitch home is up high for ball one. Matt Clayton bats cleanup. He's the catcher, to be followed by left fielder Carlos Aguiar. Nick Lucky bats sixth at third base. Smith out of the stretch deals. The 1-0 pitch is on the corner, 1-1. Maddox Houghton in the 7-hole tonight in center. Right fielder Ryan McCarthy hits eighth, and Angel Del Rosario rounds it out at second base. The double leadoff man of sorts, speedster in the 9-hole as Jenkins watches away for ball two. Smith tried that little backdoor slider, but it didn't quite get to the corner. We mentioned it in the open, Smith can really manipulate the slider, just like Josh Gross last night, who dominated the Muscles. That one fouled back by Jenkins on a changeup for strike two. But we've seen in the three other starts against Smith that he's got the big sweeping pitch, he's got the tight mid-80s slider, and he can throw it to lefties and righties, really all parts of the zone. So that's his go-to. 2-2 is a fastball down and away, a full count.
And he's had a lot of success against the Muscles, as we also highlighted in the open. 14 and a third innings and 16 strikeouts against Fort Myers. This is his fourth start against the Muscles this season.
One lofted foul, 21 Ks in 14 innings. So the Muscles have struck out a ton against Smith, who has elevated his prospect status. He is now a top 30 prospect in the Yankee system by MLB Pipeline because of his performance this year. So a big step forward for him, and a guy who no one really wants to face in the league right now, one of the better pitchers. That one hammered out to right center and deep. Morales looking up near the wall. It's up and over the fence. A home run for Walker Jenkins. Out to the power alley in right center field. A line drive puts Fort Myers in front, 1-0.
Now Jenkins turning on the payoff pitch from Cade Smith. I think he wants to face him a couple of times more tonight. First home stadium home run for Walker Jenkins this year. Just missed one earlier in the series to straightaway center, and he gives the Muscles a quick early lead here in the bottom of the first.
There's another look on the video stream. Middle fastball, and he took care of it. Second homer of the season for Jenkins in game number 18. Fort Myers in front. First pitch to Pena is a fastball at the knees for strike one. Well, you got to wonder with Walker as the DH tonight, knowing his work ethic, I wouldn't be surprised if he was taking swings right up until seconds before that at bat. That one's outside for ball one. Of course, the batting cages here are right behind the Muscles dugout under the third base stand. So whoever's DHing always has the opportunity to go down and take some swings mid-game. There's the 1-1, and it's a fastball inside. Tarpons want to challenge. They will do so. Robert Bonet signals safe, and so Tampa loses one of their first or one of their three challenges immediately here in the first inning.
And John, I bet that Walker was hitting during the 40-minute rain delay and taking advantage of all that extra time, especially not having to really go do any defensive work or warm up his arm like he would on a normal day. That's just, especially with bad weather and the cages obviously under the roofing, nothing better to do. Might as well go get some extra hacks in.
Yeah, that is certainly his approach. Guy loves to swing and work hard in the cages. 2-2 here on Pena. Liner over third. That's a base hit into left field. Oh, the rain delay has not slowed down the Fort Myers bats. A homer and a well-struck single to start the bottom of the first. Pena has really caught fire here the last couple of weeks, at least on the offensive side of the ball. Had a three-hit game earlier in this series, and a really nice piece of hitting going the other way right there.
And he's getting some extra opportunities now with Brandon Winokur out for at least the next week, and Pena sliding all the way up to the two spot in the lineup, and a nice job to take advantage of these extra opportunities with some first inning plate appearances for him.
Pancho Ruiz takes strike one. Yeah, with Winokur on the IL and Byron Churio not playing tonight, there was certainly going to be a new name in the top three in the lineup, and it is Pena, who's been batting, you know, between the six and the nine holes all year. A one is hammered out to right center and deep. Long run back for Montero, who's on his horse, and overcomes Morales. It's over his head as well. Pena full throttle around third, and there will be no relay. It's juggled by Lombard. It's an opposite field RBI double for Pancho Ruiz, his team leading 29th RBI of the season, and it's 2-0 Fort Myers.
Muscles coming out swinging hot bats after the delay, and you wonder, they've had all this video against Cade Smith this year. It's the fourth time they faced him. They had the extra time to really sit there and wonder what the approach would be in the first inning, and that approach has been ambush. Three straight hits to open the game, two extra base hits, and the Muscles are hot here on this Saturday night.
A triple away from the cycle, only four batters in for Fort Myers.
Come on, Clayton.
Smith is ready. I don't know if he's our top triples candidate. That one is low for ball one.
Probably not, but still, at this rate, 4-for-4 with a team cycle out of the gate sounds like something that's probably never happened before and would be pretty cool if it did.
They're shaded the other way on Clayton. Maybe he can yank something down that left field line. Here's the pitch, and it's in the dirt. Good glove stop by Tomas Frick. Let's give you the full Tampa defense while we have a moment. It goes Castillo, Montero, and Morales left to right in the outfield. Hans Montero is at third base with Roderick Arias at shortstop. George Lombard Jr. is the second baseman with Dylan Hasso at first. And Tomas Frick does the catching, working with Smith. The pitch is on the inside corner, 2-1 on Clayton. So Smith now 17 pitches in and still nobody out. A homer, a single, and a double put the Muscles up by two. Smith comes home. Fastball, swing and a miss on the outer edge for strike two.
And the Muscles really never had a big inning against him. They scored just three runs off of him in the 14 and a third that he's pitched against Fort Myers, and now already two runs with nobody out here in the first. They've nearly doubled that run production right out of the gate.
Yeah, the three runs the Muscles had against Smith were in that Tuesday night game in Steinbrenner when Jose Olivares was on the other side. And there's a strike. 2-2 on Clayton. That's strike three. A late call there by Robert Bonet did not indicate that he knew that was strike three. And finally, Smith has the first out.
Very casual strike three call there. And here goes Ruiz. He takes off and steals third. Nobody paid attention to him. Nobody even looked.
That is terrific.
Let's go, Pancho.
Arias was up the middle there and playing very deep at shortstop. And the only man on the left side was Montero. So now the infield comes in. First pitch to Aguiar is a breaking ball low, 1-0.
And that's huge to get the runner at third with less than two outs here. Aguiar, who can certainly hit a fly ball to any part of the field at the plate, and that has to bring the infield in now for the Tarpons. So that was a huge extra 90 feet from Pancho Ruiz.
1-0 to Carlos. Pulled foul, a little out in front, rolls it towards the first base dugout, 1-1. So a chance for Fort Myers to extend it beyond just a 2-0 start. Runner on third, one out, bottom of the first inning. From the stretch, Smith fires home, and it's cranked foul, a rocket into the parking lot in the right field corner, strike two.
Aguiar turning on the 94-mile-an-hour fastball, just a hair out in front of it.
He was certainly ready for that fastball. Muscles have been sitting dead red against Smith early on. Smith ready again, now the pitch. Breaking ball, checked his swing. They appeal and say he did not go 2-2. Well, the Tarpons have a streak of two consecutive games with an ejection going tonight, so no obvious argument on that call, which was very close. The pitch pulled foul towards that first base dugout again. Little jumpy. Carlos looks a little anxious to do something here. That foul ball was hit at 102 miles an hour off the bat. Shortstop Arias is on the grass and sheeted up the middle against Carlos. 2-2, breaking ball, and he got him. Pulled the string on a slower breaking pitch, and there's two down now. All comes down to Lucky with the man at third and two outs now.
And a nice job by Cade Smith. Give him his credit where it's due after the three hits to open the game, back-to-back strikeouts, and now just an out away from limiting the damage, but Nick Lucky trying to put that third run on the board here with Ruiz still at third.
And Smith up to 25 pitches here in the first inning. Facing another lefty. First pitch home is pulled foul. Lucky got a good piece of it, but a little too quick. Strike one.
Yeah, five left-handed hitters in the lineup against Cade Smith, counting Isak Pena, the switch hitter in that group.
Who scored the second run of the inning on the Ruiz double. Smith fires home, and it runs up and away. A fastball at 94, and the count evens up on Lucky.
Although on the season, lefties hitting just a .190 against Cade Smith. Righties are hitting .223 against him. Very similar number of total at-bats there.
The pitch, breaking ball, golfed foul off the left side and into the 200 level, strike two.
Yep, lefties and righties each with eight extra base hits against him, and that's 116 plate appearances by lefties, 112 by righties, so about as even of a sample size as you can get.
Smith ready from the stretch, now the pitch. And it's down and in for ball two. Probably worth mentioning at this point that we are seeing quite a bit of lightning out in the distance to the north and east.
Just a tad.
Yeah, certainly a few miles away or more, but it is something we certainly will be monitoring here as, of course, there is scattered thunderstorms throughout the area today. 2-2 coming, breaking ball, swing and a miss. High slider, and Lucky goes down swinging. So Smith strikes out three in a row, but the Muscles do get two. We go to the second with Fort Myers in front, 2-0.
What could be more American than baseball and fireworks? Thursday, the 4th of July, your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles will close out Independence Day with our famous Fantastic Fireworks Extravaganza. Then Friday night, July 5th, it's Muscle Sprouts Kids Club Night, with all members getting free admission and everyone getting a second helping of Friday night fireworks. And we wrap up the weekend Saturday night with the first 500 fans in the gate scoring a Mighty Muscles red, white, and blue hat. Independence Day baseball celebration with your hometown Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Muscles manager Brian Meyer, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Start of the second inning here at Hammond Stadium. Jose Olivares now working with a 2-0 lead. Muscles with a hot start tonight against Cade Smith. Jackson Castillo takes down and in for ball one.
And we saw a combined 59 pitches in the first inning. Or 49, excuse me.
The games in this series have gone one of two ways, and that's big crooked numbers early with a ton of pitches, or, you know, lightning quick, 1-2-3, top and bottom of the first. That one's high, 2-9. I think we've had two of each in this series. But it's definitely been an interesting mixed bag of results. But in the end, as that one stroked to right field, that's going to sink in front of McCarthy for a base hit. It's a leadoff single for Jackson Castillo, who continues to rake here in the Florida State League. So the second straight inning, Olivares has allowed a leadoff single. He came back to retire three in a row after that in the first. And now it's Hans Montero, the right-hand hitting third baseman. Olivares from the stretch fires home, and it's upstairs for ball one. It is a full lightning show right now in the distance behind the center field wall. We, of course, here in the press box are above the tree line, so.
It's not ideal.
Yeah, you can see it for a ways. There's a throw to first, not in time. And everything to the north and east is filling up with rain and thunder and lightning. But again, certainly at least a few miles away, the Muscle staff here keeps really close tabs on the weather. Here's the 1-0, and it's a slider called a strike. Now, the umpires have full discretion on when to stop the game, but the Muscles have discretion on when to tell the fans to take cover, and that's not usually until the lightning is within 6 miles of the stadium, and they have not done that. There's a foul ball, strike two. So yep. We'll keep that in mind, but from our perspective, it's directly in front of us, and it's just bolt after bolt after bolt.
Just hoping the wind changes directions in our favor.
Yeah.
Possibly.
At the moment, it's not looking so hot. Olivares ready. And the 1-2. Rolled on the ground left side. Flashing over. Lucky with a nice play. Throws to Del Rosario for one. Relay will not be in time. Montero beats it out. Nice play just to get one there on a bouncer towards the hole on the left side.
A good job to get the lead runner in that situation. A little off-balance throw to second base as we take a look at the turn again on the video replay. And good job by Del Rosario on the pivot and just a step behind on the return feed over to first base.
So that brings up Willie Montero with one out and a man at first. Muscles leading 2-0. Olivares from the stretch fires home. And it's outside for ball one. At this time of day, and there it is. There is the announcement of severe weather. So the lightning is getting closer. And this crowd of about 1,000 or more tonight will have to head for cover. And the game will continue as long as the umpires feel it's safe for the players. That one is outside ball two. And typically the way this works is that once the inning is over, the umpires will clear the players from the field as well. But not always. We've had a couple of instances where they've played multiple full innings in a situation with where the crowd is undercover. Throw to first is not in time. And then either it gets better and the crowd comes back, or it doesn't and there's a delay. And, of course, we've already had a delay tonight. So 2-1 here on Willie Montero. As the crowd heads up for the concourse, there's a slider fouled back to the padding, strike two. And I will say, Andrew, even if there is a delay or if we have to continue this game at some point tomorrow, at least the fans saw some offense early on. That was a very entertaining first inning. Of course, the goal is to play all nine tonight no matter what, but the weather is it's dicey at best. Swing and a miss. Runner goes, throw on target, but not in time. It's a strikeout for out number two. Montero steals second base, so the Tarpons now have a man in scoring position.
That's now three strikeouts for Jose Olivares. And back on the weather note, as we take a look at the throw down to second, just a hair late as Montero steals the second Tarpons bag of the game. But Judd Loveland, our general manager and resident weather expert, and his team, and now they are out on the field ready to pull the tarp. I was just about to say that they were in position if the need arises, and it looks as though that time's come.
Yeah, interesting. Obviously, the umpires were focused on the game there, so there must have been some sort of, you know, hand signal or head nod to let the umpires know, hey, it's time. If we don't want rain on the infield. We've got to pull it now. And so the tarp crew is out. They are pushing the tarp out across the outfields. And the field will be covered here in the next minute or so as we watch these different systems pop up to the north and east. And it does look like, Andrew, that they are kind of popping up, spreading out, and dissipating. And there's obviously no rain falling at the moment. So we'll remain optimistic. And, of course, we'll keep you updated as things continue here. And for Olivares, unfortunately, if this goes any more than 30 or 40 minutes, he's going to be done for the night at just an inning and two-thirds. Right around 30 pitches for the outing. And if we do end up playing all nine later on tonight, it'll kind of be a bullpen game on both sides. And the same thing goes for Cade Smith. Only one inning on his side of things, so even less than Olivares. And obviously giving up the two runs for him is not ideal if that ends up being his final line. Brian Meyer has come out to chat with the umpires as well. And you mentioned Judd Loveland, who does a great job with the weather forecasting here. He's a Florida guy through and through, kind of understands how these thunderstorms and systems work. And so he clearly had relayed something to the umpires about what was developing here. They decided it was best to cover the field. So we will roll some of our interviews from this season. We'll come on back in a little bit, maybe 20 to 30 minutes from now, to give you an update on what's going on. And we'll play it by ear. So we appreciate you tuning in and for your patience tonight. A 40-minute delay to start, and now a delay in the top of the second inning with Fort Myers leading 2-0. We'll be right back here on the Muscles Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you ready for first pitch between the Muscles and the Lakeland Flying Tigers. We're joined with Muscles outfielder Ryan McCarthy. Ryan, thanks for the time.
Yeah, good to be here. Good to be here. Excited to answer some questions.
Well, we got plenty for you. First one is, what's it been like getting 4 days kind of off here? I know with the weather, canceling three games in a row, it had to have been quite a mental block for you guys these last few days to get the games canceled, then have to come in, just kind of go through the motions of taking some swings in the cages, going home early. What's it been like?
Yeah, it's been a little hectic lately, honestly. We've had, we come in here expecting to play every single day, and then we get done with our work, and it's like, oh, we're not playing. But, it's been kind of a blessing in disguise, though. It's been good to get a couple days off, especially, I think we're, 60 games in right now? 60 games in. Been good to get a little bit of a break, but, excited to get it back going today.
So hopefully getting two in today. I wanted to touch on your entire journey because you've had quite the journey to get to this point. Finishing up college a couple years ago, you played in the independent leagues, affiliated teams, and also a draft league team. But this year you started the season with the Schaumburg Boomers out in the Midwest, and you had an OPS over 1,000 through your first 11 games before getting picked up by the Twins. When did you find out the news that the Twins wanted you, and what were your emotions?
So it was actually the day before we were going to go to Canada. So we had a Canadian road trip for, I think it was about a week. And we were supposed to leave on that Sunday after the Sunday night game. We're going to leave at 1 in the morning. So that morning, my coach, Jamie Bennett, he called me and he said, hey, the Twins would like to purchase your contract. And obviously I was ecstatic, super excited, called my family. A couple friends and let them know, and then went to the game that night, the Schaumburg game that night, woke up the next morning and started heading down here. So
that's awesome. And that was actually the second time that it happened, because the year before you were playing for the Great Falls Voyagers of the Pioneer League and got picked up by the White Sox. Were the experiences similar, or were there different circumstances?
It was a little bit different. I think the first time I was a little more shocked. I was just like in awe of everything. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. This time was a little bit, I kind of knew what I was expecting. I knew when I got here, the kind of teammates I would have and coaches and what was expected of me. So this time was a little bit less of shell shock, I guess, compared to the last time. But the last time was incredible as well. Kind of did the same thing. Got the news, came in, called the family first, obviously friends and stuff. It was pretty cool. And both times I actually got to drive down to the place I was going. So last time it was Kannapolis, North Carolina. So it was about a 26-hour drive. And then from Chicago to here, about 26 hours as well. So I had a little bit of time to, decompress and think about everything. So
Yeah, lots of hours in the car to plan your next move and your approach going into a new adventure, which you've had plenty of. Definitely. In the last 2 years since you finished up your college ball. You've obviously had to make some decisions. Coming out of college, you decided to go to the draft league and play wood bat baseball for the Trenton Thunder, and now obviously you're with your fourth or fifth team in the last 2 years. What has led to those decisions? Obviously, you've made the decision to keep pursuing baseball as opposed to pursuing a different industry or getting out of the sport. Yeah. What's kept you going, and did you ever come close to just giving it up?
Yeah, I actually did. So the first time before I went to the Great Falls Voyagers, I was working as a financial consultant for a company up in New York. I was working remotely. So I worked there for about, I don't know, probably 3-4 months. And then I was sitting in my office chair and I started to feel a little belly coming over my buckle. And I decided, hey, this probably isn't going to be for me. So, you know, I love the game. I love being around the people who play the game. And just it's incredible to see everyone's stories and understand where everybody's from. And yeah, so I think pretty cool.
Yeah, so the sequence was you finish the draft league, no professional offers, you take a regular job, and then obviously that's not for you. How did you catch on with the Voyagers then?
So the Voyagers, I got a call from a guy named Tommy Thompson, and actually my manager in Trenton, Jeff Manto, knew Tommy Thompson, so he called him, and then he called me. So it was kind of just, you know, who I knew and things like that, and I think they helped me out a lot. And I love the game, and I love being a part of it, and going out there and giving it my all every day is just something that I love to do. So I think that's why I ended up sticking around for a little bit longer. So
we're joined with Mighty Muscles outfielder Ryan McCarthy. You spent 5 years at the Citadel down in South Carolina. There's kind of three aspects of your experience there to tackle. The first one I wanted to ask you about is the military side of that. I know it's a military school to some degree. So what were kind of your academic plans, and did you have any service attached to your time there?
So it's full military while you're there, but there's no you're not required to serve after, basically. So you go in there your freshman year, what they call you is a NOB. So you're a NOB while you're there, which is basically just a freshman who has to follow these certain set of rules, be up at 5:45 every morning, things like that. So while I was there, I think that was tough when I first got there, my freshman year. And then once I got to like sophomore and junior year, I started to kind of feel it out and get the, you know, the feel for it, just like anything. But yeah, the military, that was a little tough. Playing two sports though, I think definitely helped out, because most of the time I was either with baseball or football. So I was able to, I wouldn't say like skip things, but I was able to, you know, go practice baseball, practice football while sophomore, junior, senior year, a lot of times when people had to either do marching or things like that. So
did you have to wear a uniform to class?
Every single day, yep. Woke up, had to have my bed made, had to have my drawers all in line, room completely clean. We either had a duty uniform or an AC uniform. Duty uniform is wool pants with this collared shirt. Sometimes you gotta starch it, make sure it's all ironed nice, and then ACUs are just the typical camouflage ones that you see people walking around in. So
did you have to take military style classes? Were you required to stay on campus for certain hours of the week?
Yep, so you stay on campus Monday through Friday. You have to be in your barracks, is what they call them, by 11 p.m. every single night. And then on the weekends you can get leave administered to you, basically. So depending on how the school week went, and typically if we won the football game, we'd usually get overnight Friday night and Saturday night. So I mean, there was a decent amount of rules, but you learn to end up liking them a little bit. So
keeps you regimented and disciplined, and I'm sure you were in great shape because of all the things you had to do for your school and both of your programs. You've mentioned football now a couple times. You are a rare Division I two-sport athlete in today's day and age. You had over 30 receptions for the Citadel. You were a quarterback in high school. I would imagine coming out of high school, you were getting interest from college programs for both sports, and you settled on the Citadel where you were able to play both. Was that a big reason why you chose the school, because they did give you the chance to play both?
So they really, I wasn't even planning on playing both, to be honest with you. I went there and started my freshman year, played football, and I was on full ride football scholarship. So between football and baseball, football didn't really want me playing baseball, if that makes sense. But went there, Got maybe midway through my freshman year, and then the baseball coach ended up contacting me. He's like, you want to come out and try out for the team? And I was kind of iffy on it because I was really all in football at the moment. But I was like, okay, yeah, why not? I'll go try out. Went and tried out. After I tried out, I think it was the next day or the day after, I was starting in my first college baseball game. So it was a crazy run. And then once I got back into it, I was ready to go, you know, and then playing both and, you know, doing the best I could in both sports. So
I know they have spring practice for football. Was there times during each season where you had to go over and practice or work out with the other team?
Absolutely. That was the thing too, is football was held, you know, basically every right to me because I was on full ride scholarship. Baseball was kind of just like a secondary thing. But I remember my freshman year, we had a spring game that day. I was playing quarterback at the time. Played there, threw like a touchdown, ran one in maybe, I don't remember. But then as soon as that game ended, literally hopped in my car, full football, you know, helmet, shoulder pads, everything. Hopped in the car and drove over to our baseball stadium where we played Northern Alabama, and then played, I think, two of three games in that series or something. I think we played like a doubleheader that day actually too. It was crazy. But yeah, I went from literally field to the next field and played. So it was crazy experience.
Yeah, amazing experience, amazing story. Just one last question for you, just about growing up. You're from Georgia. Mm-hmm. Conyers, Georgia is your hometown. You went to the Pinecrest Academy in Forsyth. Mm-hmm. Obviously, sports were a big part of your childhood. I don't know if you played a third or a fourth sport, but what did you do for fun growing up in Georgia? What did you enjoy about it?
So, yeah, typically my life literally just revolved around sports because up until junior year, I played basketball as well. So I was playing baseball, basketball, and football year-round. But most of the time out of, during the summertime, instead of going and playing travel baseball because I had decided, like, my sophomore or junior year that I was just going to play football in college, I would travel with my dad, and we would go to all these different colleges and do the camps and things like that. And that was basically what I did for fun, like travel around the world or travel around the country, going to different colleges with my dad and kind of doing the camps and the showcases and all that stuff for football. So I enjoyed that. Also got a good group of friends back in Georgia that I love to hang out with. They're also a part of the sports team. So I just do that. And then recently have gotten into fishing a little bit more when I was in college. So I really enjoy fishing, you know, being on the water. So.
Well, plenty of water here in Fort Myers, especially this week.
Absolutely.
Ryan McCarthy, thank you so much for the time. We look forward to watching you throughout the season.
Heck yeah, thank you.
First pitch is coming up next. Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you ready for first pitch between Fort Myers and Dunedin. Today we get the chance to chat with Muscles starting pitcher Cesar Lares. Cesar, thank you for the time.
Yeah, thank you for your time to be here. Every fans, thank you.
We're also joined with Mighty Muscles pitching coach Richard Salazar, who will help us with a little bit of Spanish. First question is, you just won FSL Pitcher of the Week for your 6 no-hit innings against the Marauders last week. Congratulations on that. And how were you able to have success in that outing specifically?
Semana pasada, tú ganaste el pitcher de la semana en la Florida State League, ¿verdad? Entonces, ¿qué fue lo que hiciste? Porque lanzaste 6 innings contra Bradenton en cero.
Siempre llevé mi mismo enfoque que llevo en todos los juegos, practicando mis picheos en el bullpen, siempre con el mismo plan que llevo. Y no hice nada especial, solamente me preparo, me concentro bien, estudio mi mecánica, todo lo que tengo que estudiar un día antes y ataco el día que tengo que jugar.
So the 6 innings, it wasn't anything special what I did. I was just like concentrating and stay focused the whole time in the outing. And I put in practice what I did during my bullpen, my mechanics. I started myself the day before, so I was like, get my checklist for like the day of my start. All the things that I did in the bullpen, just put in practice that day, and I just stay concentrated, stay present, and attack the zone.
What pitches do you throw, and how do you like to attack the hitters?
¿Qué pitches tú lanzas? ¿Qué pitches tú lanzas? ¿Cómo te gusta ti atacar los bateadores?
Yo lanzo recta, curva, cambio, slider y me gusta atacar con todos los picheos porque tengo mucha confianza en todos mis picheos y sé que puedo hacer mucho daño con mis picheos.
Say I have a fastball, curveball, slider, changeup mix, and I can attack every hitter with my full mix. I truly believe in myself that I can do that to the hitters, and that's why I continue the strong on my ability and my strength to do that.
Which of those pitches are you working on the most right now, and what are some goals to improve either a pitch or maybe a statistic or something you want to accomplish this year?
¿Qué pitcher tú estás trabajando más, verdad, en cuanto a ser movimiento o estadística que tú quieras tener que has practicado durante este tiempo que estás aquí?
Durante todo el spin trainer estuve preparándome con el slider, y es un picheo que todavía estoy mejorándolo mucho más para que a los bateadores le haga más daño, pues, y controlarlo muy bien en la zona.
So the whole spring training time I was working on the slider to be able to achieve the movement, and now I'm continue working on it during pens. I continue, like, the movement is there, and just now looking the location to find that and attack the hitters and make the hitters, like, uncomfortable with that pitch.
That consistency of the slider for sure.
Yep.
When you're on the mound, you pitch with a lot of energy and competitiveness. Where does that come from, and what are you thinking when you're out on the mound?
Cuando tú pichas con bastante energía, ¿verdad? ¿De dónde viene eso y cómo haces para llegar a alcanzarlo?
Eso viene desde como desde que nací, o algo que se crió en mí normalmente, porque ninguno de mi familia fue un pelotero profesional o alguien que me indicara a ser un pitcher o algo. Siempre voy a buscar y salir al 100% con mi energía, que eso es una de las cosas que me mantiene en mi cabeza en alto, pase lo que pase en el juego.
So that comes, like, I think I'm born with that one, because, like, none of my family was a professional athlete. And then that's always that come, like, bring the energy and always go out there and compete with a high energy, and I always keep that in my mind, so I don't have to, like, with a good results or bad results, I only gonna bring the positive and a good vibes, a high energy, so I maintain the focus on the game and I be able to achieve my goals in each outing.
We're joined with Mighty Muscles pitcher Cesar Lares. Just a couple more for you. You signed with the Twins in 2022. I think you were over 18 years old at the time, so a little bit older than some of your Latin teammates. As you got past the age of 16 and you were assessing the options and the teams that were interested in you, what led you to the Minnesota Twins, and how did you develop here at the complex?
Cuando tú firmaste con Minnesota en el 2022, ya tenía 18 años, ¿verdad? Que no es igual a lo mismo que los otros compañeros latinos que han firmado a los 16. ¿Qué te mantuvo a ti practicando y seguir trabajando para firmar, y por qué Minnesota?
No hubo, o sea, siempre fui así, tenga la edad que tenga, que firmé a los 18. Yo sé que firmé un poco tarde, pero yo sé que yo podía poner mi desempeño y desenvolver todo mis habilidades y cómo decir,
firmar,
no,
llegar,
sí,
a la firma.
Llegar a la firma.
Okay, ¿y Minnesota? ¿Por qué Minnesota?
Porque fue uno del equipo que me dio la oportunidad de estar aquí, y siempre voy a estar agradecido y dando el 100% de mi energía a todos los juegos.
So, just going to start backwards. Minnesota team was the one that brought gave him the opportunity to sign, even though that he was 18, as you mentioned. He knew it was a little bit old to sign, but he always kept, like, a good positive mindset to, like, achieve what was the final goal. It was to sign a professional contract. And he always going to be thankful for the Minnesota Twins to give that opportunity, even though that he was 18 years old. And he just, like, kept it, like, positive and continued working hard to achieve his goal about the sign with the Twins.
Do you remember the moment when you got the phone call that they wanted to sign you? Did you get to share that with your family that day?
¿Tú pudiste compartir eso con tu familia cuando te hicieron la llamada? ¿Cómo fue ese día la llamada?
Sí, fue algo increíble, porque yo sabía que el momento iba a llegar, pero no sabía en qué momento, porque yo estaba dando todo de mí y sabía que eso lo iba a lograr, pero no, todavía no tengo y no puedo decir lo que yo sentí ese día. Fue algo demasiado emocionante, que yo llamé a mi mamá llorando, y bueno, mi mamá con mucha mucha alegría y me felicitó y todo eso, y lo compartí muy feliz con mi familia.
So he cannot express, like, how he felt, because he still don't know, like, on that moment he didn't know how he felt. It was like he knew the moment was gonna arrive, but he never thought, like, when it was. So it was that moment of, like, when it's gonna happen, but he kept positive working, and when he received the call he wasn't expecting that. He called the mom to share that. Where like mom was really happy about that, and then he finally was able to share that a couple of days later with the family.
I'm sure it was a great week for you and your whole family. Last one for you is about growing up in Venezuela, same town as some of your coaches, same country as some of your coaches and teammates. You're from the city of Maracay. What was it like growing up there, and what did you do for fun away from baseball?
Viene del mismo país como ciertos coaches que están aquí, ¿verdad? Y algunos de tus compañeros. Cuéntanos cómo fue tu crianza en Maracay, que viene de Maracay. ¿Cómo fue tu crianza y qué hiciste afuera de béisbol que fuera divertido?
Que fuera divertido siempre. Yo me recuerdo que estuve en una escuela militar, fue otra cosa que experimenté estando joven, pero después tuve que abandonar la carrera militar porque tuve que agarrar el béisbol porque no me daba tiempo a ir a las prácticas. Y eso fue una de las cosas, porque no tuve otra cosa así que jugué. Porque futbolito, mi mamá me decía siempre que me iba a dañar el tobillo, que si jugaba pelotica de goma, me iba a dañar el brazo. Mi mamá siempre me cuidó en eso.
My mom was always taking care of me, like, outside the game of baseball. Like, my mom never let me, like, play with soccer because she always thought that I was going to break my ankle. Or, like, rubber balls outside. She said, hey, you're going to injure your arm. And another fun fact for Lattes is like early in his age, he went to a military academy back home. And then at some point, he has to get away from it because he didn't have time with that military academy to like go to practice. So that was like a moment that he has to make that choice. Is, hey, I'm going to choose baseball, so I'm going away from the military academy.
And what age were you at the military academy? I assume you attended school there as well?
Yeah. ¿Qué edad tenías tú cuando estabas atendiendo yendo a la academia militar?
Estudié de quinto grado hasta primer año. Tenía como de 12 a 14 años.
Is that 12 to 14 years old as well, so assistant to the military academy there?
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Cesar. We appreciate it, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Que muchísimas gracias por compartir este momento con nosotros y compartir tu historia con el equipo.
Muchas gracias a todos ustedes por la oportunidad que me brindaron aquí y a todos los fans que nos están apoyando desde el día uno.
Yeah, thanks for your time here and the opportunity to express myself here and share with you guys, and also to all the fans. I thank you for the support.
First pitch is coming up next. We welcome you back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live, getting you ready for first pitch here in Tampa. Today we get the chance to sit down with Muscles pitching coach Ryan Ritchie. Ryan, how we welcome you back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live, getting you ready for first pitch between Fort Myers and the Tampa Tarpons. John Vitas joined alongside Mighty Muscles pitcher Spencer Bengard. Spencer, thank you for some time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
You've had quite a start to the season, a 1.23 ERA through your first eight outings, some of them as a starter, some of them as a piggybacker going, three, four, five innings. In relief, you've only given up 27 hits through your first 36 and two-thirds innings. So the obvious question is, how have you been able to have so much success here in the first half of the season?
My strategy really is just to get ahead of hitters. You can't punch anyone out in an 0-0 count. So getting ahead of hitters definitely helps, and falling behind them definitely doesn't help when you're facing some of the best guys in the world. So I just keep that in mind of attack the zone, attack the hitter, take the fight to them.
You were drafted last year in the 15th round out of Cal Baptist and came into the Twins organization with two pitchers that seemed solid. The Twins were willing to let you continue with your fastball, which is in the low 90s and you locate well with, as well as your changeup. But they've added a couple of different breaking balls that have really helped you out this year, both a cutter, which you call a slider, but it's 87, 88 miles an hour, and then a sweeping pitch right around 79 or 80 as well. How have those pitches developed this season, and how have you used them to be effective?
I didn't really develop the sweeper until I came over here from extended, but they didn't like the other slider because it was a little bit too loopy and they wanted it to be harder. So I completely changed the grip in extended and just decided to throw it harder and changed the grip that was a little bit less wrist manipulation in the pitch. So it definitely helped me throw it harder and just to trust the spin and give it the movement that it needs. As far as the sweeper, I just kind of developed that to keep them off the hard slider. I kind of started to notice when I would go through the order a couple of times, it would be more difficult to get strikeouts. And I mean, by adding a pitch, I feel like it helps keep them off the hard slider. They're both breaking the same way, but you know, one's 6, 7, 8 miles an hour harder than the other, so I feel like they play off each other pretty well.
Yeah, and you're able to locate with them as well, which helps a lot. You mentioned extended spring training. You did not break camp with the Muscles. You spent a few extra weeks down at the complex on the other side of the Fort Myers training facility. How did that help you continue to work on things in a quieter environment, you know, working out during the day as opposed to under the lights with fans in the stands?
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely be lying if I said I would have wanted to start an extended spring training. But I mean, I feel like it was definitely really good in the development of the hard slider. So, I mean, I guess it was definitely a blessing in disguise to help better my stuff, and focus on that more as opposed to, you know, without the noise of, you know, actual games and stuff like that. So.
And there's a lot more you can work on back there, right? Because you're not following a game day schedule. You're working with several coaches as opposed to just whichever Muscles coach is kind of assigned to you that day. How does the environment help in maybe a little less pressure and a little shorter hours too?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely go in depth with everything a lot easier with all the help that's there. And like I said, not having the noise of, you know, actual hitters and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it can sometimes take a while to develop a new pitch and stuff like that and be comfortable throwing it in game. But that definitely helped over there, throwing lives with the hard slider. And, I mean, just adding the sweeper, kind of the same idea. So, I mean, it wasn't too difficult to add that.
Yeah, and that applies not just to this April, but also last summer when you come out of the draft and you're not necessarily throwing a ton of innings in games and just working on the arsenal as a whole. One thing that jumps off the page on your stat sheet is the strikeout-to-walk ratio, right around 7 Ks per walk. I know you're a guy that just hates giving up walks. Is that part of your mindset when you're out there starting your motion for a pitch?
Oh, yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, in college, my coach was super big on not walking people. If you walk the first person, then a 56% chance that they would come around and score. So, I mean, I don't really like flipping a coin on whether or not someone's going to come around and score. So, I mean, it's definitely important to me to attack the strike zone. And, I mean, walks just they come around to get you. So, I definitely don't like them. They're my least favorite thing.
We mentioned you went to Cal Baptist. You were a criminal justice major there. And when you think criminal justice, you think attention to detail and structure. How does that apply to pitching? Because you do seem like someone who's very regimented, very focused, and able to execute your plan out there.
I mean, it definitely, I feel like the connection I would probably make is a lot of information and kind of just pick apart, you know, what you really need to remember and what, you know, sometimes you need to go back to. So, I mean, that was definitely a harder major for me. But, I mean, I just picked it because I wanted to be a police officer as, like, a backup plan. But, I mean, I'm definitely happy to be here and would definitely rather be doing this.
No doubt about it. Spencer Bengard, thanks for sharing your story with us, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Welcome in here to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live. I'm Patterson Fallis, joined by Muscles right-hander Xander Hamilton. Xander, thanks so much for joining us here on the pregame show today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
2023 14th rounder out of Appalachian State. What made App State a good place for you to play your college baseball career?
I think coming from a Power 5 school, going into like a mid-major, it just gave me more of an opportunity to actually get some exposure on the field and get in front of those pro scouts and actually get some time on the field.
What was the draft like for your 14th round pick? Tell me about that moment and who you're able to share it with and sort of the emotions that you were going through.
So it was a day 3 pick. Didn't know if it was going to be 2 or 3, but I was there with my mom and my best friend. We were at the house when I was there. It was an exciting moment, you know. It was just, I mean, it's never what you expect, you know. You can't predict anything. You can make up all the stories in your head, but you never know what's actually going to happen.
24 appearances now here in 2024. How have you been able to handle the workload? It's been a pretty solid workload here this season.
I think when you're not hot in those days, you got to just really intentionally take those days light. Make sure you're only doing like what you really need to do, not doing extra, because it is a long season, big workload. Coming from a college season, 56 games to 132, it's a lot. You know, it's a big difference. yeah, so the days you're hot, you're full throttle, but those days you're not, you got to ease back. You got to learn to do that.
How do you handle that mentally?
Mentally, it's like you just got to have, out of the bullpen, you just got to be able to flip a switch. I mean, obviously, you're down there during the game. You're goofing off, whatever, till that phone rings and you got to turn that switch on. You know, you got to go.
Bullpen, you just talked about. You guys have a little bit of swag, a little bit of a name you've come up with. Tell me about the origin story of that.
Yeah, so we were in Bradenton, and down in their bullpen, they have, it's like basically a cage down there for their bullpen. And we were, I don't know who came up with the name, but somebody made a joke called like the cage, the dog pound. And that's kind of how the name started. Then we were like, dude, we should make shirts out of this. And everybody should just be like a big, aggressive, like angry dog and be like pretty sweet. So I went, got on Photoshop. I have some skills in that area, and I whipped up some stuff, made a shirt.
Richard Salazar and Ryan Ritchie both appear on that shirt. What was the inspiration behind that?
I think that came from Nolan Santos. It was like, I came up with the idea of how all the dogs in line, and he was like, dude, we should have Senor and Ryan just holding us back on like the chain leashes, kind of like the GTA like art style, you know?
You obviously have a good relationship with both pitching coaches. What's it been like to work with both of those guys here this season?
It's been really good, you know? Like Senor, he's like the veteran, you know? He's got more of the laid backs, a lot more jokes, but he's got all that wisdom, you know? And then Ryan's like the new guys, all with the analytics. So it's you get the best of both worlds, you know?
Second half of the season, obviously, you talked about turning a switch, you know, as a reliever, but this team has turned a switch and playing some really good baseball. What have the vibes been like in the clubhouse since we moved over to the second half of the season?
I think the vibes have been like a lot more team-wise. I think it's been and gotten a lot more of like people think about their individual performances. And then I think once you get away from that and you just think about winning, I think your individual performance take off, and that just helps the team win even more.
We've seen guys, you know, in and out of the clubhouse with roster moves, guys getting promoted to high A and guys coming in from the independent leagues. How are you able to handle that, you know, in that team dynamic with guys in and guys out?
Yeah, so it sucks to see guys go, but, you know, it's the best for somebody sometimes, you know. You can't predict anything. You just got to go with what you're given, kind of like that. And then you get the new guys come in. There's so many great faces that come in this clubhouse. There's not a problem with anybody. Everybody's awesome, you know.
You talked about your team mentality and wanting to win as a team, but individually, of course, everybody has their own, you know, personal goals for their season. What specifically for you are trying to work on here in 2024?
Been working on some new pitches, like developing like a much broader arsenal. I think just kicking up that velo, trying to get in the upper 90s, that's kind of the main goal right now.
In terms of, you know, away from the baseball field, we always like to hear about what guys do, you know, when they're not playing baseball. For you, what is a getaway that you like to occupy your time with?
I love to play golf on our off days, and then obviously we're in Florida, so who doesn't love the beach, right?
Hey, golf, where are you golfing around here?
Oh, we go all over. I always try to find a new spot. My main one's been Fort Myers Country Club or Eastwood. Those are the two big ones, but then I think I played in Naples last week. Just try to get out there.
How does the competitive side of you fare on a golf course? A little more finesse sometimes on a golf course, but, you know, I'm sure you're a competitive guy.
I think it's good to get away from the game of baseball because, like I said, we play 132 games. So when you can switch it up and play a different sport, like, obviously you still have that competitive edge in you, but it's a completely different look at the game.
Muscles right-hander reliever Xander Hamilton joining us here on Mighty Muscles Pregame Live. First pitch is right around the corner when we return. Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live. I'm Patterson Fallis, joined here by Muscles outfielder Maddox Houghton. Maddox, huge offensive performance last night from you guys as a team. Fifth inning RBI for you. Take me through what a night looks like when the team's going that well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we stick to our plan. We stick to our approach. Usually going into games, you know, we feel like we have a good game plan. Don't always stick to it. But last night we did a good job. We forced them to be in the zone, and when they were in the zone, we did damage.
You guys have out-hit Jupiter in all four games, but only last night was the win of the series. What sort of frustration arises from, you know, going up there and having good at-bats and then not seeing the results?
I mean, obviously you play to win the game, but at the same time, there's only so many things you can control. And so, you know, I felt like, and we felt like we were having good at-bats. And like you said, we've out-hit them. And understanding that it's a long season and realize that some of that stuff will even out, but continue to trust our plan and what we're doing.
I've heard that you're a pretty superstitious guy, so we won't go into, you know, all the numbers. But anybody that's watched any, you know, Muscles baseball this season can tell that you're on a roll. what has, you know, been the biggest thing for you to find this level of success this year?
I think there's a lot of different things that go into it. Number one, I feel like my off-season training was good. It helped having a full season of pro ball under my belt, kind of knowing what to expect. Two, I think mentally, I talked about approach as a team earlier, but my approach has been good. Again, knowing what to expect helped a lot. And understanding how I'm going to have success at the plate and sticking to that. And then three, realizing it's a long season and I've done a better job. So faith is really big for me, and I've done a better job of not worrying about results and realizing that, you know, my identity is secure. It's not in this game, and living by that each and every day.
In terms of the season as a whole, obviously the goal is to move up for you. How do you, you know, stay focused on the day-to-day?
Yeah, I think that's in pro baseball, that's all you can do is focus on each and every day and realize that when you stack good days, good at-bats, that's all going to add up over time, and then the rest, the results will all take care of itself.
Coming, you know, to the Twins as an undrafted free agent, you know, a year ago, what was a point of emphasis from the development side that they thought, hey, this is something that you can work on specifically?
Yeah, biggest thing was end zone miss, particularly with breaking balls this year. Last year it was fastballs, this year breaking balls, just to punch out a little bit less. So we worked on that a lot this offseason and then in spring training as well.
Take me back to your college days at Lipscomb. Tell me about, you know, your baseball at your college level and then down into high school and in your childhood.
Yeah, so played 5 years at Lipscomb under Jeff Forehand, who, in my opinion, is the best head coach in all of college baseball. He's just a great human being. Had some really good assistants there who helped me along the way and molded me into the player that I am today. And then had some great coaches in high school, too. I feel like, you know, there were a lot of people that were in my life that, you know, played a part here or there, whether it be strength coaches, baseball coaches, just mentors that all added up to, yeah, help me get here.
And I heard before.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you back live here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. We hope you enjoyed some of those interviews during our delay. If you are watching our video feed, you probably did watch the weather deteriorate over the last 30 minutes or so. And just a few minutes ago, the umpires did come out and wave off the game tonight. So we have officially been suspended in the top of the second inning with Fort Myers leading 2-0. This game will continue tomorrow. It'll be a 12:05 first pitch. We will play this game through the end of the ninth inning, and then there will be a seven-inning game to follow. So it'll be a long day of baseball tomorrow. Looks like it'll be about a 15-inning affair if the weather holds tomorrow. There is about a 40% chance of rain throughout the day tomorrow, which is normal for this time of year in Southwest Florida. So with that, we will have a doubleheader tomorrow. We will hit the air for Mighty Muscles pregame live at 11:45, video open at 12, and then the start of our modified doubleheader at 12:05. We will pick this game up in the top of the second inning from where we left off. Obviously, there will be new pitchers on both sides. We appreciate your patience tonight. For those of you in the stadium, Clint Hurdle does still plan to speak as part of the Faith and Family Night festivities, so that will take place in the ballpark as the parties continue to wrap up here at Hammond Stadium. We did have a really entertaining 30 minutes of baseball tonight, but unfortunately that is all that the weather would allow based on the patterns this evening. So that wraps up our broadcast. We will sign off the air. Big thank you to our Virch Wisconsin crew for their patience and help as well. So that wraps things up. 2-0 Muscles in the second. We'll play on tomorrow afternoon. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball, worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. This copyrighted broadcast is presented through the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated, for the private use of our audience. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, its descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.